in Luke 2, 45 and 50 through 50, Luke 2, 45 through 50, the passage reads, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to them." Christmas is over. We have very little written about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ growing up. Just this one incident in Luke, when he was 12 years old. His parents had been there to worship in Jerusalem, and they were returning to Nazareth with a group. They assumed he was with the group until they got a day out, and then they discovered that night that he wasn't around. And so they returned to Jerusalem, and they sought him for 3 days. And he was there in the temple with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, with the priests. And they were discussing things, and he was asking questions. And they were amazed. Christmas is over, and we really want to know more about Jesus and his upbringing. But very little is known about Jesus as he was growing up. There's just one extended passage that tells us anything about him. The passage is extended in Luke 2, 52. We read, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." The rest of what we know is the passage that we just read about him when he was 12 years old in the temple. We know very little about him other than when he began his ministry. What we learn from this incident is that Jesus had a knowledge about who he was. Jesus had a knowledge about who he was even when he was 12 years old. He knew that he was the Son of God from the responses that he gave to his earthly parents. At this point, Jesus had a knowledge of who he was, but he did not have the power of God to perform miracles until his baptism. Like I said, we know very little about him. And I've titled the message, "What Next?" We know nothing more about Jesus until he was 30 years old, and John the Baptist became the one to introduce him to the nation Israel. But we have to read out of the Gospel of John, the Apostle's Gospel, in chapter 1 to find a record of the baptism of Jesus and him being identified as the Lamb of God. John 1, 29 through 31. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water." You know, it's important that we keep track of what John did, and we keep track of which John did what. That's always been confusing. At least it has been to me. John the Baptist came first, and evidently Herod the Tetrarch Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee had John the Baptist thrown into jail and later on beheaded when his daughter, I guess you would call her stepdaughter, danced before him. And she requested, he asked her, "What do you want?" She requested, she had been advised by her mother, request the head of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had told Herod he could not marry his brother's wife because his brother was still alive. And they hadn't really been divorced. So John was beheaded. That ended John's ministry. God used John the Baptist to introduce Jesus to the world. John the Baptist was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, as recorded in Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist was recruited by Jesus. I'm sorry, John the Apostle was recruited by Jesus to be one of his disciples. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John epistles bearing his name, and the book of Revelation. Not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was killed by Herod. But let's look at the event that really started Jesus' ministry. We have a very short description of the event in Matthew at the end of chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John," that would be John the Baptist, "to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now we have another account of this, and I'm going to read all the accounts. Another account in Mark. Mark 1, 9 through 11. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John," that'd be John the Baptist, "in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then there is a third account. And you will understand in a minute why I'm reading all three accounts. There is a third account in Luke. Luke 3, 21 through 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased. Now, I've read all three accounts because there is one very important thing that is recorded in these three records. John saw the heavens open. And he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus. He didn't see a dove. He saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. This was a sign given to John the Baptist in order to identify who Jesus Christ was. You see, he did not know who he was. The event is recorded in 1 John, John 1, 29 through 23. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After he cometh, a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but he is preferred before me. And I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. He was born for this purpose, 6 months before Jesus was. He was to be the one who identified Jesus the Christ for the public. We know that Jesus suffered the temptation of the devil shortly after his baptism, and he defended himself. He defended himself well with the Word of God. In the first few verses of the Gospel of John, Jesus identified as the Word of God. That would be John the Apostle, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not write anything. He just baptized. John the Apostle, one who Jesus selected, is the one who wrote this gospel. And in his gospel, here's what he's written in the first four verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same, and it was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. After Jesus' confrontation with the devil, he began to gather the men who would be his disciples. One of them in particular was a doctor, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. We're grateful to Dr. Luke for the history that he gave us of the early church. That is the church that we are supposed to emulate if we're going to be the kind of church that is called after Jesus. At this point, Jesus had the power of God upon him, because of which John saw the baptism of Jesus. Prior to that time, Jesus was the Son of God, but he did not have the power of God available to him. God gave Jesus the power to do the many miracles that he did after his baptism. Baptism today is slightly different because we are given the Holy Spirit at the time of our salvation. The baptism comes after. If you will notice, God was present at the baptism of his Son. He was there to impart his Holy Spirit. So after his baptism and temptation, Jesus began to gather his disciples, and then he began his ministry. The first miracle that he did was not spectacular. It was to demonstrate for the disciples that he had the power of God upon him. I think that Mary and Joseph had been waiting for Jesus to begin demonstrating his relationship to God the Father. Joseph would never have forgotten that he was not the father of Jesus, and Mary would never have forgotten that she had borne a child while she was still a virgin. I don't think that either one of them would have forgotten the circumstances. Let's look at Jesus's part in the first miracle that he performed. Cana of Galilee was west of the Sea of Galilee, which is at the upper end of the Jordan River. The Dead Sea is at the bottom, It flows into the Jordan River, goes on up to the Sea of Galilee, and Cana, where this first miracle was performed, is west of that lake. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith to you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. This was Jesus' first miracle, but he did it for the benefit of his disciples, men he had chosen, so they would believe he was who he said he was. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he had his mother traveling with him. Now, we don't hear or read anything further about his stepfather, not really his father, but the man who married his mother. So he evidently had passed away or passed on. He was no longer alive. Jesus was the oldest of all his brothers and sisters because he was born first while Mary was still a virgin. And so it was Jesus' duty to take care of his mother. So she was traveling with him. And if you will remember, she traveled with him throughout his ministry, and she was there at the crucifixion. So he had been responsible for his mother's care as a widow. He was still with him 3 years later when they crucified him. The next event that John records for us is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. We have no record of Jesus eating breakfast, and he probably became hungry. Keep in mind that he was living in a human body. He sought to find fruit on a fig tree and found none. He cursed the fig tree, and his disciples heard him curse it. We'll look at the result after this next incident. John 2:13-17. John 2:13-17. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, "Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." And the disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." There are several things that we should notice about this event. First of all, Jesus did not want the house of God to become a business. Jesus did not want the house of God to become a business. There should not be business carried on in the church or the house of God. If I see or hear of people doing business in the church, I will intercede and rebuke the people involved. I believe that Jesus gave us a precedent here, as this example has been given to us. The church is not a place where we discuss or transact business other than church business. The deacons are the ones to do that for the church. The next thing that we should notice was that Jesus was careful not to injure the living animals in any way. He beat the humans who were doing the business, but he did not hurt the animals that were being sold. He told the seller of doves, take them out of here. Because if he had thrown the cages around, it probably would have hurt them. So he did not hurt any of the animals. The animals weren't responsible. The people were. And I believe with that scourge he made out of cords, that he beat the living daylights out of them, drove them out of that church, drove them out of that temple. I'd like for you to also notice that the disciples were watching and learning from Jesus when they were not asleep. They noticed when Jesus cursed the fig tree as they were on their way to Jerusalem. When they went past it on their return toward going back to Jerusalem from the temple, they noticed that the fig tree was withered and dried up. They took notice that Jesus' curse resulted in death. Mark 11:20-24. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What Jesus was telling his disciples was, faith makes all things possible. Faith makes all things possible. And folks, whatever you believe in your heart, believe, know for sure. You can pray for that. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you to God, and God will give it you. I've seen God answer so many prayers. I've seen God answer when there are no prayers. We just have a situation that we don't know what to do with, and we don't think about turning to God and talking to him about it. But God will send an answer in spite of what is going on. And remember, this whole world belongs to God. Everything in it belongs to God. He can give you any part of it, or he can withhold what he knows will harm you. And he does that sometimes, folks. We start praying for something, and God knows that this is not good for us, or this will not be good for the individual that we are praying for. Folks, death should not be fearsome to us. Death is a matter of our going home to be with the Lord. Now, I know we might have plans for certain things out in the future. But if God intervenes and decides to take us home, that is not a bad thing. Oh, it's a sad thing for people who are left, but it is not a bad thing. It is something that God is doing for us. We have the verse of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, all things, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're serving God the best you can, doesn't mean you have to be working in a church, but if you're doing what God wants you to do, all things, and you love God, all things are going to work together for your good. So folks, God owns this world. He can give you any part of it he wants to, but he may withhold it because it might hurt you in some way. So when you pray to God, believe in your heart that God is going to answer that prayer, and he will. And you would be surprised at what God can do without you even thinking about it. Father, we do love you. And Father, we are here because we love you. We ask that you might touch the hearts of those who are not here this morning. Maybe the weather kept them away. But Father, you would touch their hearts and give them a desire to be here and be a part of this ministry, to learn about you, more about you, to worship you, to sing songs of praise toward you. Father, may your will be done in this ministry and everyone involved with it. And we will praise you, Father, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.